We live in a day when people seem to love excitement. Amen. And so it's hard just to do the daily stuff. Everybody's addicted, I guess, to adrenaline these days and want everything to be spectacular and fantastic and wonderful. And, well, life's not like that all the time. Sometimes it's just daily. Amen. We're going to study about lessons from history and from the wilderness to Jordan. Of course, we're studying about Israel's trek across the wilderness and try to learn some lessons. And I believe we can. Why is it the saying, I don't know who to attribute that to, that those that do not learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them? You know, it's good to learn from somebody else's mistakes and you don't have to make them, right? But a lot of times we don't do that. We have to do it ourselves. Amen. And so, such is life. Amen. Praise the Lord. From the wilderness to Jordan. A focused thought. God is faithful to give strength, guidance, and protection to those who are determined to endure to the end. A focused verse, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then Numbers 14:26-27. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Verse 29, he said, Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. That's serious business, isn't it? Serious business. Verse 31, but your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Verse 38, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephthah, when they were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Amen. Everybody said, Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. My, what a God that they served, and the things He did for them, and the mercy that He showed to them. Wow, what I was just reading again this week about how God delivered Israel so miraculously and how the Lord showed favor to them. I mean, He brought the plagues upon Egypt, and yet He spared the Israelites. And there was darkness in the land, but there was light where they lived. Plagues, and yet they were preserved. And then to divide the Red Sea and close the waters upon their enemy. Water out of a rock. Manna from heaven. Fire by night. Cloud by day. Boy, they had it good, didn't they? But you know what they did? They murmured. They murmured. Everybody say they murmured. You say, I ain't going to murmur. I ain't going to murmur. And yet we do. And yet we do. Right? Amen. If you've never murmured, you may be dismissed. Amen. We all have murmured. Yes, we have. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, but God got weary with that, didn't He? He really did. They received the law, and God spoke to them from a burning mountain. Thunder, lightning, manifestation of God's glory. Moses came down, his face glowed so brilliantly, just being in the presence of God, they couldn't even look at him because he didn't have any sunglasses. My, what a manifestation of the power of God and the promises the Lord made to them. And at the same time, God not only made them some promises, but he said, if you don't do what I'm saying, he said there are going to be some consequences. There's some curses. And the people said, yay, amen, right on, we'll do it. People agreed. Now let me tell you something. When you make a deal with God, he's going to stick to his side of that bargain. And you better stick to yours. Hello? Amen. How many times do people come to this altar and weep and pray and cry? We pray with them. We cry with them. Amen. Some folks, it takes them a while to get through. They promise God everything. God, if you'll just fill me with the Holy Ghost, I'll serve you. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. Amen. Where are they now? I'm telling you, God heard all those promises, and he's going to hold you to it. If you made a deal with God, you better stick with what you said you were going to do. Hello? Are we getting through here today? Is this something? Amen. Well, it's when you told the Lord something, he listened. Can anybody testify that he's held up his end of the bargain? Has he been true? Has he been faithful? Amen. He expects the same from us, doesn't he? So when he talked to Israel and he talked to them and they said, yes, Lord, we will. And then they didn't. And there were some problems because of that. Amen. And so they were not very, very far out. They got the law. They constructed a tabernacle. They were headed for the promised land. Did you know that it should have taken them about 11 days to get there? 11 days. That's not very long, is it? 11 days. But they stretched it out into months. You know, I think in our own individual walk with God, the Lord has a plan to carry us places and do things for us and with us and through us. And oftentimes I think we thwart God and we hinder God, and we have to go around the same mountain sometimes. Praise the Lord. Anybody ever had to experience the same thing two or three times before you ever kind of got it? Amen. What is it? Israel said, we've come past this mountain long enough. Amen. I've been around some mountains until I recognize every lizard. Amen. I've been by that thing. It's time to learn. Come on, son, so you can go into something else. Amen. You know what I learned? Well, I didn't learn. That was the problem. But what I realized, let's put it that way. I realized that when I was studying algebra, well, when I wasn't studying algebra, when I should have been. But this is what I realized, is that you got to get this point before you can go to that point. Because if you don't get this, you can't do that. You have to learn each step, because this part of the formula leads you to that part of the formula. And if you don't get this, you can't do that. And God realizes in life, there are certain lessons you got to learn here before he can take you there. We just want to go there. He says, no, you got to get this first. Because if you don't get this, you can't do that. And so we get led around these little mountains and these little detours because we haven't got it yet. And God's patient. God's kind. He's generous. And I appreciate him so very much. Amen. And so they took these detours, took them months. Finally, they come to the promised land. And the Lord says to Moses, he said, I want you to choose 12 leaders, an influential man from every tribe. No prejudice here. Get one from each tribe. Nobody's overrepresented. Nobody's underrepresented. Everybody gets a choice. So he chooses the 12 men and great men. Each one was influential. Each one was chosen. Each one was very special. And he chooses the men, and then he says, send them into the promised land. And they go. And so they come back and they got a report of the spies. First of all, there was a faithless report. A faithless report. This was the mission. I want you to see the mission here. Moses said, see the land. Everybody say, see the land. What it is. Or what is it? And the people that dwell therein. So see the land, see the people. Whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And then what the land is they dwell in. Whether it's a good or bad place. What cities they dwell in. Whether they dwell in tents or strongholds. And what the land is, if it's bad or lean. Whether there be wood therein or not. So that's what I want you to come back with. Just tell us what you saw. Tell us about the people. Tell us about the land. And that was their mission. So they're gone 40 days. And they come back with the fruit of the land. I mean, they're carrying just grapes, you know, that are so heavy. It takes two men to carry it on a pole, man. That's big grapes. I was in Israel many years ago, and they're the biggest grapes I ever saw. Literally, they were some of that big around. They were massive and just full of water. I mean, just juice. They were tremendous. And I've never seen grapes like that here. They were massive grapes. But they come back, and they've got these glowing reports about the land and how wonderful it is and how fruitful it is. And they say it flows with milk and honey. Now, what does that mean, milk and honey? Well, it means that there was grass there. It's arable land. It supports livestock. Because, you know, milk doesn't come from land. It comes from cows and goats and sheep and that kind of stuff. So what they were saying was it'll support our livestock. It'll produce for us. We can really do well there. And then, of course, honey was their sweetness there. And literally there was honey in that place. And so they were saying that it's a fruitful place. It's a place that we can prosper. And boy, they had a great report concerning the land. But that's kind of where it stopped, wasn't it? Then they started with the part about, oh, but there's giants in the land. Amen. Every worthwhile endeavor in life, you're going to have some kind of obstacle that you're going to have to overcome. Every time. Amen. You started that years ago. Amen. Every last one of us here today, when you started out walking, you spent more time falling than you did walking. Oh, yeah, you did. Amen. And you watch a little one trying to walk, boy, it takes some determination. Amen. They fall. They get right back up. They try it again. They bump their head. Amen. Big old knots. They get back up. And they just keep at it until finally, after a while, they're walking, running, climbing, jumping. And they excel because they persisted. Yeah. Amen. You started out da-da, ma-ma. Amen. Couldn't say much, but listen to you now. You can go on for hours. Isn't that amazing? But look where you started. You overcame that obstacle. Amen. You went to school, and you learned. It was hard. Brother Hunt, it was hard to learn to read. I remember that. See, spot. See, spot, run. Spot runs fast. Isn't that great? Well, you're doing good. Listen to that. Yeah. And now you can read about Amalekites and Edomites and all the rest of the ites. And then you're just breezing through there. Look, you overcame some obstacles to get where you are. Amen. Balance a checkbook. You're doing great. Amen. But it took you a while to get here. Spiritually, we start out and we've got to progress. We've got to grow. And it comes through obstacles and opposition. Always opposition. Amen. And so it was for Israel. They had some opposition there. But you know what? The only reason there was fruit in the land was because there were people in the land. The only reason they had houses to live in was because somebody built those houses. Isn't that right? The only reason there were vineyards well kept is because somebody planted those vineyards. Amen. Somebody did all that work. And it was theirs. And God didn't want them to drive them out. You know what happens to land if you don't take care of it? What happens if you don't hold the weeds out? Boy, they'll take over. It's not very long till no matter how pretty it was, last year, if you don't take care of it this year, it's not going to look like anything but a weed patch. God knew that. So he left some enemies in the land. Let them take care of it until you can take care of it. And then when it's time for you to take over, you're going to take over something good. And so he said, you're going to drive out these enemies. Amen. The Lord said, be of good courage. Everybody say, good courage. Amen. How can you do that? Faith in God. Faith in God. That's how you do it. Now, that's where confidence comes from. That's where courage is born. Faith in God. Amen. Believe in God. Hallelujah. He's going to do great things. He's going to bring things to pass according to His promise. Things that you knew that you could not do, but God brought you through. Well, when they started talking about these giants in the land, and Joshua and Caleb had a faithful report, didn't they? Thank God for Joshua and Caleb. Amen. We still have some of their kin around today. I pray for a Joshua and a Caleb spirit. Now then that I'm on the downward side of 60, I really pray for that. Amen. I want to have the spirit like Caleb did when he was 80 years old. And it was time to come in the country. You know what? He wasn't looking for a villa somewhere on the seaside to retire in. He looked at a mountain where the giants lived. And he said, give me that mountain. I don't want some lowland place out here. I'm not ready to get my fishing pole and head for the lake. He said, give me a mountain. Give me something that'll match my faith. Amen. I want to take something for God here. I want to do something for the Lord. Amen. And 80 years old, he still had that desire. He still had that hunger to do something for the Lord and see God do great things. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. That's the kind of faith we want to have. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, it was like the fella talking to his little boy about hunting, and he said, oh, Daddy, he said, you know, he said, when I get big, I want to be like you. I'm going to hunt bears when I get big. Everybody said, when I get big. And the daddy finally said, well, son, there's some little bears out there. You know, a lot of times it's up, when I grow up, when I do this, when I get that, well, there's some little bears around too. You don't have to wait till you get big. There's some little devils out there to fight. You don't have to take on the big ones first. There's some little stuff. You got to do that first. Then you can do the big things, the great things. We're not just going to wake up one day and be super spiritual. You're going to gain it every day through prayer, consistency. Amen. Faithfulness. That's how it comes. And so Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to take the land. Well able to take the land. It wasn't that they didn't realize the obstacles. They saw the giants. They saw the walled cities. They saw all those things. But in the back of their mind and in their ears, they could hear that ringing. God promised us this. God said he was going to drive these people out. God told us he was going to do this. And that's all they could hear was the voice of the Lord. Amen. They saw opportunity. They saw possibility. They saw through eyes of faith. And it made all the difference in the world. Amen. All other people could see is, well, we can't do this. We can't do that. We can't. We can't. We can't. Let me just say to you today that if you think you can't, you're right. And if you think you can, you're right. So what do you want to do? Can or can't? Amen. You just got to make up your mind which one you want to do. Amen. You either can live for God or you can't live for God. It just depends on what you convince yourself of. Amen. But if you want to go through, you can do it. Amen. You want to live for God and do something for God, you can do that. Hallelujah. And so Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this. Amen. They were convinced. Don't you like that picture? That's neat, isn't it? Amen. Good report? Bad report? Whose report will we believe? The report we choose to believe determines our destiny. So which one you going to believe? You going to believe the good report? Are you going to believe the bad report? Amen. Isaiah, remember? He wrote and said, whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother, I'll have to get you offering later. I spent all mine yesterday, but I'll get some more before the day's over. The Lord willing, maybe I will. We'll see. By faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we got a faithful report. We got a faithless report. Now let's look at the people's response. Amen. How did the people respond to what they heard? Amen. Well, anybody remember a little magazine or a little newspaper, I guess you should say? I think it was called Grit. Anybody remember Grit? How many ever heard of Grit or saw Grit? You know what Grit was? It was a little newspaper full of good news. That's all they printed. They printed good news. Do you know what happened to Grit? Now, people didn't buy it. They went out of business. But you know, the books and newspapers and magazines that print bad news, they're still in business. What does that tell us about ourselves? Huh? Does that say maybe that we'd rather eat bad news than good news? How many people have you ever heard gossip about good stuff? Isn't that right? I don't know what it is. You know those, what is that? National Enquirer, I think they call it. You know what that is? That's just bad news, gossip about people. And it's still in business. I guess. I don't know, but suppose it is. Amen. Isn't that amazing? All that, just bad news. Why is it that people like to hear bad stuff about people? They said Lady Astor had a pillow on her couch that was engraved, or embroidered, I should say. And it said this. It said, if you don't have something good to say about somebody, come and sit right beside me. She liked to hear that. Tell me the juicy gossip. Tell me the bad stuff. Why is it that people like to believe bad stuff? Why is it that when we hear something bad about somebody, we're quicker to believe that than when we hear something good about somebody? And why is it that when we hear something good about somebody, we don't run for the telephone and tell everybody what we just heard? But when we hear something bad about somebody, oh, you can't, you know, I mean, we don't even have to, you know, used to you had to dial. Remember that? Remember? Now then you just hit speed dial. Boom! Push one button and you got them. I mean, gossip, I mean, it's really on the wing today. Why is it that people want to believe negative reports? But you know what Israel did? Negative, didn't they? Amen. They did. Well, Numbers chapter 14, verse 2. Let's look at it. It said, and notice that little that second word. That's scary, isn't it? It's a little word, but scary. It said, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Two words are scary. All and the whole congregation. We're not talking about a handful of discontents. We're talking about just the whole bunch. Did they really mean that? I don't think so. But they said it long enough that God let them have their way. Now, it took a while. But you hear me. You can overcome God's mercy if you want to bad enough. If you want to have your way bad enough, eventually God will wear it down and say, okay, have it your way. Amen. And so this is sad to me. It's tragic, isn't it? That the people said, listen to what they said. They said, would God we died in the land of Egypt. Wish we'd never left. Amen. That wasn't what they were saying when they were under the lash of the taskmaster. That's not what they were saying when they were crying out to God from the heat of the Egyptian sun. Amen. They were crying and pleading for deliverance, and God gave them deliverance miraculously and marvelously. Amen. And the same people, you know, they said when God thundered from the mountain and gave all those great promises and how they were going to go to the promised land and live in houses they never built and eat from vineyards they never planted and crops that they'd never tilled, and they were so excited, they said, right on, let's go right now. Amen. And here they are now, crying out, complaining, murmuring. Here's the problem. God got the people out of Egypt, but he never got Egypt out of the people. Now here's the thing. God got you out of the world, but did he ever get the world out of you? This is where we got to get. We got to get the world out of us. Isn't that what the scripture said? We are in the world, but not of the world. And we are pilgrims and strangers passing through. That's our journey. That's what we're doing. That's where we're going. And finally the Lord said, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe for all the signs which I have showed among them? And then he says, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee, talking to Moses, a greater nation and mightier than they. God said, I've had enough. Folks, I just want to say today, kindly as I can, but murmuring is a dangerous thing. Most of us don't get there overnight, but we can, if we're not careful, we develop a negative mindset until we just, everything's negative, and we respond in a negative way. And God is a God that honors faith and loves faith and looks for faith and responds to faith. So you be very careful. You need to check up every now and then. Listen, am I being negative about everything? When I talk, am I talking faith and positive things and encouraging things? Or am I talking negative stuff? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I love the good old days too, but we're not there anymore. This is 2013. And this is where we live. We don't live there. We can't live there. No matter how good it was, this is the present. We've got a world to reach today. We have young people to be an example to today. We have young people that need to see us worship and pray and believe God and do exploits. Amen. That's good, Brother Grissom. Thank you for saying that. Amen. They don't need to hear a bunch of negative things about how we ain't no good no more. And how it was so much better then, and so much better. Yeah, maybe it was, but we're not there. We're here. We're with this generation. We're here today. Praise God. We're dealing with these devils. We're fighting this battle. But can I get an amen here today? I said, we're fighting 2013 devils. We're not fighting 1953 devils. Praise God. Hello? Let me tell you, you know what the Bible said? In the book of Genesis, the devil was a serpent. In the book of Genesis, he's a dragon. He grows up. He's bigger today than he was 50 years ago. Yes, he is. He has greater influence today than he did 50 years ago. 50 years ago, we weren't killing babies in the womb. 50 years ago, we were not parading homosexuality on the streets and in the courtrooms of our nation. Amen. 50 years ago, we were fighting different devils. Pornography was in the back room instead of on your computer screen or your telephone screen. It was behind the counter, under a cover. Not anymore. We're fighting different devils today than we ever fought in our life, folks. Hey, let me tell you something. The church has got to grow up. The church has got to get positive. The church has got to get faith. The church has got to understand God matched us with this generation. But where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Don't tell me the church is weaker today than it was then. It is not weaker today. God has not lost His power. The Holy Ghost is not less today than it was then. It may just be that we're trying to live then instead of now. Amen. It's easier to have faith in the past than it is the future. Because you already know the outcome. Hello? It's easier to believe God for things that are past than things that are future because you've already experienced them. But it takes courage. It takes effort. It takes a lot to grow and go forward. But that's what we've got to do. It's not time to regress. It's time to progress. Amen. It's not time to go back. It's time to go forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll never get a positive response from a negative outlook. You know, I'm just speaking for myself here, but there's not a salesman that has ever sold me anything by putting down what I have. If I drive my car on his car lot, and he starts putting down my vehicle, I just turn right around, get right back in my old junker, and drive away. I don't want to hear negative about what I have and where I am. I want to do better. That's why I'm there. I want to trade up. That's why I'm there. But don't put down where I am and what I have. Amen. I realize this is not what it was. That's why I want to get better. Amen. And in the church, it's the same way. You don't help people get better by putting them down. Hello? You don't help the church at all by saying negative things about it. Is this okay? I hope so, because I'm going to say it anyway. You don't help the church by talking bad about the pastor. You don't help the church by talking bad about the Sunday school. You don't help the church talking bad about anything. You only help the church talk good about it. Amen. You don't help the church by talking about how much better it was where you came from. And why'd you leave? It was heaven there. What are you doing here? Amen. Help us out. And you won't help us out by putting us down. Woo! We bow and just shout a little bit. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Brother Grissom? I'm saying when God saw that in Israel, He sent a curse on them. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. He did. Read your Bible. It's in there. Amen. This is God's response, isn't it? So what was God's response? Amen. He got upset. And he told Israel, he told Moses, he said, so you step aside, I'm gonna wipe them out. And Moses said, wait a minute, God. Wait. You know what real prayer is? Prayer is praying the mind and the will of God. That's what prayer is. And that's exactly what Moses prayed the mind and the will of God. Here's what he told the Lord. He said, now if you destroy these people now, the Egyptians are going to say that the God of the Canaanites are greater than the God of the Israelites. That's what he said. And then he said, and if you destroy these people now, he said, it's going to destroy faith. Amen. Please, Lord, don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. Don't do that. Amen. And so he said, and not only that, but it will disprove your character. We know you as a God that's compassionate, kind, merciful, generous, long-suffering. And indeed he was, and indeed he is. Right. Amen. And what are you doing, Moses? I'm just telling God his will. I'm telling God wanted to save the people. He was looking for an intercessor. He was looking for somebody that would say what he put in their heart. That's what an intercessor does. That's why when you get to praying in the Holy Ghost and you get to praying in the Spirit, anybody ever do this? You start saying things that you never thought you knew. You think, where in the world is that coming from? It's coming from the Holy Ghost. That's where it's coming from. You start saying things that shock you, and you start claiming things, and it seems kind of out there and kind of far out, and you're saying these bold, powerful things, and you're speaking these things, and you're thinking, man, this is kind of scary. No, you're praying in the Holy Ghost. And when you get in the Holy Ghost, you'll say things that you wouldn't normally say. And you'll claim things that you would be too timid to claim ordinarily. Amen. But you're out there and you're speaking the mind of God and you're speaking the will of God. And that's what Moses is doing. And that's what true prayer is. It's praying the will, the heart, and the mind of God. Amen. And that's what he's doing when he prays like that. Amen. But the Lord... God will agree with you to some degree, but he don't always go away. There's some things God won't change his mind about. And he didn't hear. The Lord told the Israelites, it's scary, it's frightening. He said, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. He said, it's going to happen. And listen, and he said, and your little ones, which you said... should be a prey. Them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which you have despised. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what? As long as we're here, we need to be looking for the power of God. As long as we're here, we need to be looking for revival. As long as we're here, we need to be looking for the salvation of the lost. As long as we're here, we need to be reaching up and reaching out and stretching forth. Amen. Praise God. Joshua and Caleb, God, give us that spirit. Give us that kind of attitude. Give us that kind of positivity that we're 80 years old and plus, but we're still pressing on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They never gave up that faith. They kept believing. Amen. The wilderness journey. So Numbers chapter 33, verses 19 to 38, they cover 40 years of time. That's a lot of moving on there, isn't it? Amen. Just about 20 verses, they cover a lot of ground. And God, it's like he just hits fast forward. And he said, now, we're here. In other words, he didn't take us through the daily life of just living in the wilderness. Amen. Waiting for these folks to die off. Why does revival tarry? Could it be that sometimes God's got to work around some things? Amen. God's got to find some people that say, yeah, we really believe this. we really believe this. We're going to see this. Amen. We're going to watch it happen in our generation. We're going to watch it come to pass in our time. Amen. It's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I can't wait for it to happen. I'm part of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that was exactly what it was. It was that kind of a thing. God was just, He was bringing something to pass, but He had to get rid of some stuff first. That's our lives, isn't it? In order for God to take us where He wants us to go, we've got to leave where we are. And some of us don't want to leave where we are. We're comfortable here, and God's trying to get us there, but we really want to stay here. Oh, we want to go there, but we want to go there from here. Amen. But there's a journey we've got to take. Can't get there without a journey. And so God's taking them on a journey. And it's taken some time. But God was leading them. God was taking care of them. God was providing for them. Anybody remember going to school? I love kids that love school. Because I didn't. I'm sorry. And there are no children here, so I'll be honest today. But I didn't like school. You know why I didn't like school? Because it was boring. Amen. It was a lot more exciting outside. I mean, you know, chasing rabbits and hunting lizards and horned toads where I grew up, you know. And that was exciting out there. Amen. Pouring water down, you know, the holes to get ground squirrels out so they could bite you on the finger. It was a wonderful life. Amen. You know, you work all day at something like that. Isn't that really advanced culture, didn't it? Civilization. No, but it was fun. Amen. Trying to figure out how to catch a snake at the right end so he don't get you and bite you. It's a wonderful life. It's great. Things I learned. Amen. And then they had some value. But they didn't have near as much value, really, as that C-spot run business. And that 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. Boring, boring, boring. Amen. Learning how to scribble those letters. You know. Boring. Amen. But you know what? That's what served me in my life. Teach. Everybody say teaching. Everybody say teaching. What is it they say? If you can read this, thank a teacher. You didn't learn to read on your own. And that might not have been your favorite person in the world, but they left you with something that has benefited you for the rest of your life. That's right. That's right. Amen. Somebody held you to the task. I'm afraid that we're losing discipline in the world today. We got all these little geniuses around, and they're too smart to have to sit in the classroom and learn stuff like that. It's got to be the teacher's fault, right? If they'd make it more exciting, my child would learn. Hey, it ain't exciting. I don't care how you do it. You still got to see spot run somehow. And it's just not exciting. It's boring. It's hard. It's discipline. It's daily. It's a grind. But the essence of education is repetition. Do it over and over and over again. And then you add a little bit. And then you add a little bit more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm just, what are you saying, Brother Grissom? You know what they were doing for 40 years in the wilderness? They were teaching. Boring. They got so bored. I mean, there was no Walmarts. There wasn't even a Goodwill or Salvation Army. There sure wasn't a Macy's or a Neiman Marcus. Amen. Same shoes, 40 years. Same old dress, 40 years. Same old food, 40 years. Boring. Yeah. And you know what they said to God or to Moses? They said, we're so sick of this manna stuff. This stuff God sends down from heaven every day, we're so tired of this. Yeah. You know, you can, if you're not careful, you can learn to despise blessings. We got to watch out. Amen. We can forget the miracle of what we have. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. So be careful not to forget that. Boring. What are you doing, God? Well, I'm teaching you. Amen. And I'm whetting an appetite so that when you get to where I want you to go, you're going to be so anxious to get there that this time you're not going to believe a false report. Amen. But this time you're going to be ready. Amen. So God made great provision. He taught them and taught them and taught them and taught them and taught them. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord leadeth thee through the great and terrible wilderness. Everybody say, humble thee. Woo, that's a scary word, isn't it? And that he may prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Amen. Boy, we don't like that humbling business, do we? And we don't like that proving business either. Amen. But you know what? I like to try stuff out. Is that right? I'm not going to go buy a car. I can't try it out. I did in Columbia, but that's the way they do business there. You don't get to try it out. You don't get to see it. Man, that's weird. You know what you do? You go down and you give them some money, and they've got this car in a compound. You don't have to pay taxes as long as it's in there. So it don't cost them anything. And so they're not going to take it out of there. You sure don't see it, but you don't take it out of there until you give them some money to pay the taxes and all that. Then they take it out. And you don't get that money back if you change your mind. And then they take it out, and you still don't see the car. You see one like it, but you don't see the one you're buying. and you really don't see it until finally you put down the final payment, give them the money, and then they give you the keys, and then you get the car. But I don't like buying like that, do you? I like to try it out. Amen. I like to try things. And here's a beautiful principle. And I'm going to close here, not through, but I'm going to stop. Here's a beautiful principle. The Lord said that he was going to try us. And then he also told us to try him, didn't he? He said, try me and see. So you have God's permission to try him. And then he said, but I am going to try you, whether you try me or not. Now, God doesn't try you to see what's in you. He tries you so you'll see what's in you. He already knows what's in there. He's just going to show you what's in there. And God also tries you so that you'll learn to try him and find in him what you need to make up for your lack and your weakness. Amen. That's what this proven business is all about. It's not for his benefit. He already knows. It's for our benefit. And so God does try us. He said he would, and that he does. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Amen. Well, we're on a wilderness journey, folks. Anybody feel like you've been in a wilderness sometimes? Amen. This world's been a wilderness. But I'm ready for deliverance. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Not going to be long. We're going to be getting out of here. He's already told us it won't be long. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's getting us ready. Amen. In that great getting up morning, fare you well. Fare you well. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give God thanks today. Lord,